Here we are again, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today for our study of the Word of God and the ABCs of Christian growth having to do with how Christians ought to interpret the Scriptures with the Scriptures. So we get in the Bible and we study the Bible and find out what God's Word says about itself. That's how we do it. And thank you for joining in today. I appreciate you, and I love you with Christ's love, and I thank you for and admire you for your discipline to study the Word of God, because I know the enemy, I know the flesh, and I know this world are against you, trying to keep that from happening and keep you from knowing anything. Whether they know that they're doing it or not, the devil knows he's doing it, but whether the world knows they're doing it, they're driven to keep you away from the Word of God naturally. That's the nature of man. That's the nature of the world. It's cursed, and it's against the Word of God. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, your flesh is still, it is not sanctified. That's our study that we're on now, and we're studying your flesh. Even though you are saved, and your soul is saved, and your spirit has been quickened and awakened, and you are alive to the things of God, your flesh is not saved yet. It is not sanctified. It is still wicked, and it'll try to draw you away from the Word of God and try to keep you from doing anything for God if you let it. And you have to discipline yourself, and I know you do, and I admire you for that, and I thank you for being here, and thank you for studying God's Word with us. So today we're going back into our study of sanctification, and when we get into these studies and we study topics in the Word of God and doctrines in the Word of God, we try to apply them for everything that they, in all the realm of truth that they apply to in the Word of God, what the whole outlook just try to get a broad spectrum of what the Bible's talking about these truths. Sanctification. We begin that with the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, and that's where we're going to end up studying having to do with sanctification. But there are several different kinds of sanctification, and we've been studying the one having to do with the sanctification of the Lord. The sanctification of the Lord, and we've been leaving out the sanctification of man so far. So far, the sanctification of the Lord we've been studying, but we went over quite a few verses, and we should. But the verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I want to start out with that every time we start studies in this topic. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see a whole bunch of definition and meaning and truth of sanctification in the Scriptures having to do with that verse right there. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very God of peace, who does it? And the very God of peace, sanctify you how much? Holy. Sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. That's what sanctification does. It cleans you up. It cleans you up. It makes things right. It makes things right spiritually. It makes things right having to do with everything, having to do with your relationship between you and the Lord and everything that all the legalities having to do with dealing with salvation and dealing with being saved and dealing with going to heaven and being in God, a holy God's presence and being able to operate around God's holiness and just all the things that have to do with the Lord have to do with sanctification. Sanctification is a very important part of your salvation, and it is a doctrine of your salvation, a doctrinal part of your salvation, along with all the others that we described, having to do with, like, for instance, adoption, imputation, justification, election, expiation, regeneration, reconciliation, propitiation, redemption, and all these things took place and are taking place and have to do with the legalities in God's courtroom of how God can save you and still be just and holy and not compromise or concede with anything that's wicked or anything like that. God remains God indeed, but yet he gets what he wants. He gets his will accomplished, and that is saving our wretched souls and helping us out. And the Lord does that, and he's wise enough to do it, and he exercises his wisdom, and we see that in the Scriptures. And one way we see it is through this process of sanctification. Now, sanctification is very important. And we talked about the kinds of sanctification. There are four different descriptions of the sanctification of the Lord, where we began on our last study, or in our last study that we was talking about. The first thing was the act of consecrating or setting apart, and we read the Scriptures having to do with that, if you remember. And then we had another description of the sanctification of the Lord, which was the secure from violation, to secure you from violation, or secure anything from violation. I mean, God's holiness is God's holiness, and it is to sanctify God, to praise and to celebrate him as a holy being, to acknowledge and honor his majesty, his holy majesty, and to reverence his character and his laws. God sanctifies himself or his name by vindicating his honor from the reproaches of the wicked and manifesting his glory. Nobody gets away with crossing the line with the Lord. You're going to get it. And if you violate his sanctity, and you do it the way the wicked do it, and you do it in a vindictive way, you're not going to get away with it. You know, there's a lot of people run that mouth and run that hole in their face and say a lot of things out of their mouth toward God. And through the process of God's grace and his mercy, he lets them repent of that and get that thing right before his sanctity has to take over. I mean, you don't violate the sanctification of the Lord for long. And we've seen that. And we went over some scripture having to do with that. Well, there's two other descriptions that we want to talk about, and we're going to use this lesson here to go over the scriptures concerning them. And then after that, the Lord willing, we'll go into our next study. We'll begin our study on the second kind of sanctification having to do with the sanctification of man. Okay? So, beginning again, just to recap, we have talked about the first description. The act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose is sanctification of the Lord, and the scriptures we read having to do with that. The things of the temple itself, all of the things that the priests, the Levites, everything had to be set apart. It had to be consecrated unto the Lord to do the Lord's work. Nobody could just walk in and say, I'm going to do the work of the Lord. Remember the boys, Aaron's boys that walked in there, and they even took the strange fire. It wasn't, the reason it was strange is because it was not the fire that God said to use. And he said, don't ever use any other fire except that fire off of that altar. And when you come in here to do something with fire, you bring fire from off of that altar and you bring it in here. And them boys went in there with a strange fire. I don't know if they lit it with their Bic or their Cricket or whatever they'd done. They didn't get it off of that altar, and they took it in there and God burned them to death. His fire came out from the Lord, and it was all because of they did not sanctify the Lord, and they went in there and they mocked him. They mocked his way of doing things, and they went in there and didn't sanctify the Lord, and the Lord burned them to death. And Moses told Aaron, said, this is what the Lord was talking about when he said, I will be sanctified. Nobody's going to get away with it. I don't care if you're the high priest's sons or whatever. You're going to get it. and the act of consecrating or setting apart. And then we talked about another one, to secure from violation, and that was exactly what we just got through talking about Nadab and Abihu. They're going in there and doing that thing, and there's even a couple other instances in the scriptures where the Lord described that thing to us about making sure that the Lord is sanctified, and everything having to do with Him and His business is respected in the way that it ought to be respected and sanctified. The Lord is sanctified. And I'm not sure whether we're going to get into that part about that fellow that they were moving the ark, and King David was going to move that ark, and somebody had stolen the Ark of the Covenant. And when they sent it back to him, David went out to get it, and they were bringing it back the wrong way. The Levites were supposed to carry that thing and carry it by foot and walk it wherever it went. And they put it up on a wagon. And when they got on the wagon, the ox stumbled or something like that. And one of them fellows that was sitting up there, I guess he was either co-pilot or pilot of that wagon or whatever it was. They had the ark on the back of it. They weren't supposed to be doing it that way. They're supposed to be carrying it. But when the ox stumbled, the cart tipped or something. I guess that guy thought that ark was fixing to turn over, and he didn't want it to turn over, so he reached around to catch it. And when he touched that ark, God killed him right there on the spot. And it was all because of God's sanctification. God, you don't do it that way. You don't do it that way. And the whole thing was wrong to begin with, because that's not the way that God said to be carrying my ark around. He wanted the Levites to be carrying it around. So David was scared. The Bible says David was scared of God that day. And they took that thing and put it in a man's house and sanctified it and put it in this man's house for a little while and left it in there. And he took care of it, and God blessed him for taking care of it, because he's honoring it. And then David went down at a later date and got that thing, and they done it the right way. And the Levites took it up and put it on poles and put it up on their shoulders and carried that thing in there. And they had a big celebration, and everything went right. Excuse me, doing it the way that the Lord said. But a man died because of that, because they did not sanctify the Lord. Sanctify the Lord to secure from violation. They didn't take heed to what God said, and they violated it, and somebody died. God killed them. God's not going to, you don't get away with it. You don't get away with it. Now, because of this age of grace that we live in, you don't see things like that happening as much. Some things do happen like that, but it's a wonder nowadays. Everybody goes, what happened? You know, what happened? Because nobody thinks about God that way because of God's grace. Because of God's grace, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the shed blood, the Lord puts up with a lot more than He used to put up with. And He's long-suffering, and He's kind and gentle, and He has goodness and kindness towards us and toward men. And He's long-suffering. And we see all that. And people take advantage of it. And it ain't going to be that way forever. It ain't going to be that way forever, because as soon as the church is gone, things are going to revert back to that Old Testament way, and people are going to see. Okay, so getting into this third description of the sanctification of the Lord, it's to purify, to prepare for divine service. Now, this is could be similar to the first one, that the act of consecrating or setting apart. To purify, to prepare for divine service, and partaking of holy things. Partaking of holy things. All right, so let's just go right into the scriptures, and let me read some of the scriptures, and let's see how God's word breaks this down to us as far as a description of the sanctification of the Lord. The first scripture is found in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 20. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10 through 15. There it is. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, In other words, get them ready for this. Whatever's got to be done in order to prepare for day after tomorrow. The Lord told Moses and commanded him. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day of the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. Therefore shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. You see, sanctification of the Lord to purify, to prepare for divine service or partaking of holy things. In other words, you're fixing to meet God. God's going to come down on that mountain. Get ready. How you get ready? Go wash your clothes. Get yourself cleaned up. Don't be messing around with your wife. And whenever you get up there, there's boundaries around that mountain, and you don't go up and you don't touch it, and you don't let your animals get close to it. You do not come near and touch that, or you're going to die. You're going to be stoned. You're going to be shot through. Well, I probably guess with an arrow or something like that, whatever it might have been, or Lord send something to kill you or something. I don't know, but to purify, to prepare for divine service, the sanctification of the Lord. The Lord got a hold of Moses ahead of time, prepared him, and said, this is what I'm going to do. Now go down there and get the people and sanctify them for this event that's fixing to come about, and tell them to purify themselves, do whatever they got to do, and sanctify themselves, purify themselves, and prepare for this service and this partaking of holy things, meeting God. And it scared the whole congregation to death, by the way. It scared them so much that it scared them when God descended onto that mountain, and then that mountain began to burn and smoke. It scared them, and God spoke. The people begged Moses and said, please, to tell God not to speak to us anymore. You speak to us. It scared them to death. But there was a preparation. Things had to be sanctified unto the Lord. You see that? You see that thing? You're just not talking about any old god like a Oriental god or one of these fake gods or a Buddha or Muhammad or all these others and all this kind of flabbed whatever, blabbity, blabbity, blab. You're not talking about that. You're talking about a holy, alive, living, wonderful God. And he set things in order like they needed to be in order to prepare, to purify, to prepare for divine service and partaking of holy things. And that's not all. Exodus chapter 29, verse 43 and 44 says, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. This is similar to the first one that we talked about, having the first description having to do with sanctification of the Lord. But preparing things, getting things like they ought to be, because you're talking about a holy God, and you're talking about dealing with him. It's not just flippant. You don't deal with God in a flippant way. God is God, and there has to be sanctification of the Lord to take place in order for it to be done properly and for people not to get hurt and for God to be respected and honored like he deserves. Exodus chapter 40, the Bible says in verse 10 through 13, "And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, and that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." You see, even serving God, God is so holy, even people that serve him have to be sanctified. They have to be purified. They have to be prepared for divine service and partaking of holy things, you see. And this is a very serious thing with the Lord. It costs people their lives when you, you say, well, that doesn't go on today. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Not quite like under the Mosaic law and the things of the temple and stuff like that with the Jews and with Israel. But it still does, and it still applies. You're talking about the same God and the same holiness and the same sanctification. The only difference is that Jesus Christ is in the mix now. But there are still warnings in the New Testament realm that can get you killed if you violate them and you do it the wrong way. And you might even do it ignorantly and God kill you or make you sick or maim you because of it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into that when we get into the sanctification of man, and probably it'll come up in the next description that we're talking about, but continuing on, to purify, to prepare for divine service, and partaking of holy things, a description of sanctification of the Lord. All right, in Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 10 through 30, listen to what the scripture says. "And Moses took the anointing oil," even oil, "anointing oil, and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times," even the amount of times was sanctified before the Lord. The Lord said, "Do it, and do it this many times." 8 would have been wrong. 5 would have been wrong. 7 is what was called for. And that's what he did. "And he sprinkled upon the altar 7 times, and the altar, and anointed the altar and all the vessels, both the laver and the foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets upon them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering, and he slew it. And Moses took the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and put the and purified the altar, and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, and sanctified it. It made reconciliation, to make reconciliation upon it. And he took all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul about the liver, and the two kidneys, and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar. But the bullock and his hide, his flesh, his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp. As the Lord," you see, there was parts of even the animal that could not go upon the altar that was anointed and sanctified. It had to go into a different fire. You see that thing? as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram round about, and he cut the ram in pieces. And Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the inwards and the legs in water, and Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right toe, his right foot. Are you getting this? The right earlobe, or his right ear, his right big toe, and his right thumb. Not the left, not the little finger. You see this? Sanctification of the Lord. And he brought Aaron's sons and put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hand and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he took the fat and the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder, and out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. For of the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood, which was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Are you getting this? You see how strict this thing is? How God said things are going to be, and you either do it like that or else. Consecration, sanctification of the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. You see, you'd never thought that just thinking of the word sanctification in the scriptures means to clean up. Means to clean up, to purify. No, it means a whole bunch more than that. Depends on who you're talking to also. Sanctification of man is different than this matter. You don't want to go through all this for a man. Man is sinful. God is holy. You'll see that when we get into this next part of our study on our next lesson, the Lord willing. Okay, so we see to secure from violation, we see the first description was the act of consecrating or setting apart. We see to secure from violation. And we're just talking about to purify, to prepare for divine service, and partaking of holy things. We see how that Moses had to handle that animal, had to handle that blood, had to handle that bread, had to handle that oil, had to handle all that stuff in a proper and devout way and an obedient way that the Lord had instructed in order for things to be purified and divine and be done in a proper way before the Lord. You see that? So, more scripture here. Let me read some more. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 19. all the firstling males that come of the herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. You see, the first one that was born, you couldn't work him and you couldn't shear him. You see, sanctification of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord. That's probably what we were talking about a while ago, whenever they were getting instructions to go down to get that ark and bring it back up to Jerusalem. And they were instructed, ye are the chief of your father of the fathers of the Levites. The Levites were the only ones that could handle that ark under the Mosaic law. And he said, sanctify yourselves. Get yourself ready. You better get ready. 2 Chronicles, and there were instructions under the law of how they did that so that they could handle that in a proper way without disrespecting the Lord or violating his sanctity. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 5, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. You get that? You get that? Sanctification is getting rid of filthiness. God don't put up with that. He don't have anything to do with sin or anything unholy. And when it comes to sanctification of the Lord, it's going to be done right and proper the first time and every time. You see, aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ brought a lot of grace in here for us, and we make these mistakes and stuff like that, and you don't get killed for doing the wrong thing immediately, like up under that law? But that's coming back. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananeel. You see, even the walls, when they were being built and put back up, they had to sanctify each section, sanctify it, set it apart, purify it, prepare it for divine service, prepare it. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 47, and all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, and in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion, and they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Sanctification among the people. Passing down responsibilities, but everything's got to be sanctified. Sanctification of the Lord. Now over in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Purify Him. Prepare your heart for divine service, Peter says. Prepare your heart for partaking of holy things. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set your heart aside to be like God and to be prepared for the things of God, to receive the things of God. God is holy. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And behold, all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron held his peace. So you see, to purify, to prepare for divine service and partaking of holy things, the sanctification of the Lord. Very important, very important. All right, let's move on into, sanctification in this manner, what we just got through talking about, the purification to prepare for divine service. Sanctification in this matter is setting apart from everything else, anything that is specifically God's or used in His honor or purpose. Now, when we say that God is holy, this means that He is set apart or sanctified from all His creation in righteousness. Remember, when you're dealing with God Himself and what is His, you're talking about a being that is supernatural and is not like a man. He is holy. He does not and will not accept anything not separated or sanctified to Him alone and His holiness. It's got to be right. When the Lord says sacred, He means sacred. The Lord draws a line and cannot be crossed, having to do with sanctification, and if it is violated, people die. Now, to show how important this is to the Lord and should be respected by everyone, we read that about Aaron and his sons, and that shows us perfectly what the Lord's talking about. And He didn't make no qualms about it. He told why it happened. Moses said to Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And God still means it. God is God. God is God. All right, we're getting into this last description of sanctification of the Lord. We find something that is to make the means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety. Let's read some scripture and see if we can find some meaning out about this. All right? In Numbers chapter 11, verse 18, And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. And ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Oh my, oh my. Remember that? They were out there in the wilderness, fixing to go into the promised land, getting prepared for all that, and the Lord was leading them along. And they started lusting after all the stuff that they had in Egypt to eat, all their refrigerator and all their little goodies, going down the grocery store and blabbity, blabbity, blab, and all that. And now they didn't have no meat to eat. And they started complaining and griping, and the Lord said, Okay, all right. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And man... They shouldn't have said that, because He gave it to them. And it said, while the meat was still in their teeth and they were still chewing and eating of those birds that the Lord dropped in a million tons of them on their camp, and they was eating and they're eating and eating and eating, the Lord sent out a curse. And they started dying because they didn't sanctify the Lord. They mocked Him and said, Can the Lord provide meat in the wilderness? And the Lord said, Okay, you want flesh? You're going to get some flesh. All right? To make the means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 14 says, So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. to make the means of holiness, to prepare, to render productive of holiness, to get yourself ready to make sure that things are going to be the way that they're supposed to be, holy. Joel chapter 1 verse 14 says, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. To make the means of holiness, to prepare things, to get everything together for the purpose of holiness, and to render productive of holiness and piety. Joel chapter 2 verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast. In other words, there's a reason for this, a specific purpose for this, sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. A solemn assembly. Make the means of holiness. In other words, bring things together for the purpose of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety before the Lord. Acts chapter 20 over in the New Testament. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, listen to this, and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, to make the means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, listen to this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to make the means of holiness. Listen to this. To predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He's talking about you. When you were born again, God knew. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, as soon as you receive Christ as your Savior, you become predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son, to be like Jesus Christ, to be sanctified, holy, like Him. Not before you were saved, but after you were saved. When you were saved and you received Christ as your Savior, God predestinated you from that point to be conform to the image of his Son, to make the means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety, to make you like Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 16, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is the one that's cleaning us up, folks. He's the one, and we're going to get into that when we talk about the sanctification of man. But God prepared to make the means of holiness. This is a description of the sanctification of the Lord. One of the things that God done for himself to make sure that things were right between us and him was that when he saved us, God the Holy Ghost came in to dwell in us to finish the product that we wouldn't violate between us and the Lord's sanctity. The Lord even made things right in the process of salvation so that his holiness wouldn't be violated and his sanctity wouldn't be violated in the process of salvation. God is so smart. He is so smart. Romans chapter 15, verse 16 said, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up to the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And verse 26 through 31, listen to this. For as often as ye eat this bread, now this is what I was talking about a warning having to do with violating God's sanctity in the New Testament realm. In the New Testament realm. And we'll probably go over that again when I get into the sanctification of man. But talking about violating God's sanctity and the sanctification of the Lord is still possible in this New Testament age. And you can do it. And you should not. You should be very careful not to do it. And you say, what are you talking about, Brother Thurman? Well, listen to this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what bread and what cup? Talking about the Lord's table. When we come together to remember the Lord's death and we partake of the fruit of the vine and of the unleavened bread, and we all partake together of that, and we take the Lord's Supper together. It's not just some kind of little ritualistic happenstance that we do every now and then. You go into some churches, and, man, they're sitting there, and everybody's just talking and yapping and everything else, and they just whip out the little trays and pass them around, and everybody just passes it to each other, and everybody just takes them a shot of it and puts it back in and passes it to the next person. It's just flippant, don't mean diddly squat. Don't mean diddly squat. And you can expect that out of churches that don't honor the Lord and have absolutely nothing to do with worshiping Jesus Christ or His salvation and what's real about the Scriptures. But in the body of Christ, among the saved, among the children of God, born again, Bible-believing children of God, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It's a representation, symbolic representation of the Lord's death. It shows everybody and reminds everybody and puts back fresh in our minds what the Lord done for us. His shed blood and his broken body that brought forth his death. For what? For us. All right? It's a remembrance. It's symbolic. But yet it's deadly. Because it is sanctification of the Lord. Listen to this. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, sanctify himself, set apart. Examine yourself whether you're worthy to do that or not. You out there fooling around and whoring around and doing misbehaving and as a Christian and doing things that you ought not be doing, and you're going to come in there and pretend that you're sanctifying yourself before the Lord and partaking and remembering the Lord's death genuinely in your heart and purity and all those sort of things? You think you're going to do that in front of the Lord and get away with it? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and listen to what he said. He didn't say a few. He said many. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. You don't know how come there's a lot of sick people in church? Because you're fooling around with sin and you're coming in there and pretending that you're sanctified between you and the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, buddy boy, you want to act that way? Just have you a little sick there. Let's make you weak and make you sickly. Okay, and then it says, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Gotta kill you. It'll bring you on home. Put your body to sleep. That's what the New Testament calls a righteous man when he dies. He falls asleep. You go to be with the Lord, your body goes in the dirt, and it goes to sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You see, the sanctification of the Lord is still alive and well in the New Testament realm, just over different things having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ now instead of Jehovah God in the Old Testament, which, of course, we know our God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and our God is one, and that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. But nevertheless, the circumstances and the sanctification is still alive and well with sanctification of the Lord. You see that thing? You see that thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 31 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We should not be judged. So there you go. There you go. Do you see the sanctification is even important toward the Lord in spiritual matters? The scripture says that God might make you weak, make you sick, or even kill you if you do not sanctify this observance before and when partaking of it. Sanctification of the Lord. You just don't treat God any old way you want to. God will be sanctified in front of the people. He said, "I will be sanctified." Remember what Moses said? Remember what Moses said when he was talking to Aaron? This is what the Lord spake, saying, "I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. So there you go. There you go. We're talking about sanctification of the Lord. Our subject is sanctification and what the Bible has to say concerning it. The first portion we just finished is a kind of sanctification that the Scriptures teach us about, and it is sanctification of the Lord. Sanctification in description of the act of consecrating or setting apart for sacred purposes or consecration having to do with the Lord himself and to secure from violation, you don't get in trouble with the Lord, and to purify, to prepare for divine service and get things ready for something that's going to come about between you and the Lord, and to make the means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety. And we see that that both involves the Old Testament and the Old Testament ways and under the law. And also, there's some description of sanctification of the Lord and that the Lord will be sanctified in the New Testament also, even under the New Testament, the New Covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that also. So there you go. There you go. We'll stop right there. I'll give you these scriptures, and on our next study, we will go into and talk about what the Bible teaches us concerning the sanctification of man. The sanctification of man. Okay, still under the umbrella of sanctification, the truth of sanctification, the doctrine of sanctification in the scriptures, but having to do with a sinful man. And having to do with us, and having to do with the bride of Christ. Sanctification. What about it? Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. Okay, so let me give you these scriptures, brothers and sisters. You ready? You ready? Here's the first one. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 through 15. Exodus chapter 29, verse 43 through 44. 43 and 44. Exodus chapter 40, verse 10 through 13. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 10 through 30. Excuse me. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 8. Numbers chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 47. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Now that, all those scriptures I gave you so far are under the third description that we talked about of sanctification of the Lord. And these scriptures that I'm going to read for the remaining part here are for the fourth description of sanctification of the Lord. All right, here they are. Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 14. Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Joel chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 31. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 31. And those are the scriptures for the fourth description of the sanctification of the Lord. Our first part and first kind of sanctification having to do with our study of sanctification itself and the ABCs of Christian growth. So there you go. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff, isn't it? Good stuff. So you see how important the Lord is? I mean, hasn't it already sanctification taught you that our God is not just some wimpy, stupid little God that you can do anything and everything that you want to do and put him in different parts of the window and pat him on the head and rub him on the head and just see how, just old God sitting up in there just can't wait to give you a warm fuzzy and give you kisses all over your face and all that. No. Sanctification of the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. Very, very important. Very important. And we should keep that in mind. We should keep that in mind. It helps us to fear the Lord properly. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. It said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And to fear the Lord. And that's one part of fearing the Lord is that brings it about is sanctifying the Lord in your heart and in your mind and putting him in his proper place in your mind and in your heart and in your life. Amen. All right. Well, there we go. And that's that. So we'll stop there. And when we come back together, we will begin the second kind of sanctification that the scriptures teach us about, and that is the sanctification of man. The sanctification of man. And that is one main thing that we should learn about because we live in the New Testament and we are forgiven and we are bought with a price, and sanctification is very important. Not only something that the Lord's doing, but something that we should be exercising is sanctification also. It gets more practical. We practice sanctification also. We're not just sanctified by God himself. We become part of our sanctification. Amen? It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.